Gemach Siman Tova and a good Geben Shtar to all. This is the Shir on Siman Tova Reshut Beis. It's a pre-recorded Shir on Siv Zayin in Siman Tova Reshut Beis. El Chesiyom HaKippurim will be approximately 10 minutes, and we shall be learning Siman Siv Zayin, Ches, Tes Yud, and thereby completing the Siman of the Halachas of Okay, so Siv Zayin teaches us the following. Ochal alei konim potu. If somebody eats alei konim, which are the stalks, somebody eats, so it's a wood, a piece of wood basically, they would be potu. That's not considered an edible food at all, and therefore it's potu lulei gefonim. Which is the stalks of the vineyard. Now, as follows: if they have grown and they have they're flowered before Rosh Hashanah, then it would be potu. Because it's like wood, it's already ripe and ripened, and therefore it's hard, and that would be considered like wood. And therefore, by eating it, he is potter. That's not food at all. But if it's only grown at a later stage and it is still flowering, then and they've only come to the stage of livlu from Rosh Hashanah onwards, then you'd be chayev. There's a certain amount of moisture in it. It's a bit flowery, and therefore it's considered a bit more edible. Mishnah Mitzvah Kotten Chof Aleph says, it is still moist and wet, v'rakin, soft, v'ruin l'achila, and they're considered a little bit roi l'achila. Therefore, in such an instance, it would be chayev medrei reise, and the chiv would be much more severe. It is an interesting point to add that the discussion of the poskim is whether medicines that we have nowadays, in which category do they go? Do they go in the category of proper wood, a piece of wood that is really non-edible, or do they go into that category? Siv ches kas perish shekosas v'potza oisam b'shinov pilpele uzangvila pepper oil ginger. Somebody's swallowing it. Then im hemyveshim potu, if it's completely dry potu, it'd be exempt from achiyav deraisa. To loy chosul achile, that is not considered an edible item. Im remetuvim chay, but if it's a little bit moist and it's got some moisture and wetness in it, chayev would be chayev. Yeah, siv dalet shir achilas pras. Test. Top of page 152. Hashoisibim akipurim. Somebody who drinks on Yom Kippur. So we spoke about eating. Now we're going to speaking about drinking. Hashoisibim kippur meloi lugmov. A meloi lugmov, which is a mouthful. Perish, meaning meloi piv, is a full mouth. Chayiv is chayiv. It's a transgression on the Reisa level. Misharin, and we measure this b'chol odom, according to every person, lefi mashu, what he's like. Hagodol, a larger person, lefi godol, according to his own personal individual size. Vakotna, a smaller person, lefi kotna, according to his own personal smaller size. Veloi, so it is relative. Why do we go according to the Shia of Meloi Lugmov? Mishnah Mitzvah Kotten Chof Gimel reminds us of the rule Meloi Lugmov the Kimnu LeRabbanon, because the Chachamim have understood, established, and recognized the Beshia Zeh, with this amount of drinking, Misyashiv Daito Shel Adam, a person is feeling satisfied, and he is happy to some extent. The Ve'ozlem Menu Inui, and the affliction sensation disappears. So we discussed previously that when it comes to the shiurim of Yom HaKippurim, it is unlike anywhere else in the Torah. The relevant point over here is the level of inui. Does this food intake or this drink intake, does that take away from the inui, from the agony, from the pain? If it does take away, that will be a chiv deraisa. It means you are transgressing, you are taking away, you are cancelling the inui. If you still feel in agony afterwards until he afflicted, then there will be not chiyuv deraisim. We're learning that somebody takes a maloi lugmav, a mouthful of a liquid, that will satisfy him to some extent, and that's why it's chiyuv deraisim. And that is makes sense, that it's relative according to the person. The larger a person is, the more liquid intake he requires to feel satisfied. V'loy m'loy lugmav mamas, says the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't literally mean a mouthful, elo, rather what he means, very specifically, k'deish esalkenu l'tzad echol, is if you push it to one side, befiv, and in your mouth, v'yiro, and it will be visible. K'meloy lugmav, like a mouthful of fudging. So he doesn't have to fill your mouth fully, but if you're able to push it to the side, and it's recognizable, that you have sort of half filled your mouth, that is considered the meloy lugmav. V'upochs m'revi'ez, that is generally speaking less than revi'ez, be'odom benedi, by an average person. V'chol ha'mashkim etzdafim l'kashir, and all the liquids add up to a shir. So a bit of orange juice, and a bit of apple juice, a bit of water, a bit of wine, a bit of whiskey, they will all add up to that required shir. V'hagos says the Ramah, shos ha'mashkim she'en ruin l'shir. But there is also such a concept of as drinks, which are not considered drinkable. Skugoin, such as very, very strong tzir or imuries, which are very strong liquids emerging the chometz chai is vinegar or similar fish juices or any other very, very strong potu, that's not considered a drink at all. Havel chometz mazuk chai, but if it's diluted, the vinegar is diluted, then it would be chai because that's to some extent drinkable. If you drank a little bit and then you drank more. Shasa me'at v'chazav shasa, you drank a little bit and you drank again. Now, im yeish metchilas shesio rishoino, if from when you started your first initial drink, atzoiv shesio, until the last drink, so from the beginning of drinking process until the end of drinking process, if you've got kedei shetias revias, you've got kedei shetias revias, if it took as long as it takes to drink revias, mistafin lekashir, that would add up to a shir. Vim lav, but if it took longer than that, and mitzdarif, and it wouldn't add up. So if you drank a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the evening, that wouldn't be mitzdarif. Some hold that you've got to have not the shir, the time limitation is not kedesh tias revias, but the time limitation is kedesh achilas pras, which is spoken about previously, k'moy tzerev achilas, which is the same shir measurement than the food intake. Now the Ramah says, muta liga b'yom kippur b'acholin mashkin. You're allowed to touch on Yom Kippur food. Mutaliga, you're allowed to touch Yom Kippur bacholin foods, mashkin drinks. Veliten, and to give it, ektanim, to children who don't fast. You're allowed to touch, hold, and pass it on. For lechashi, we're not concerned. Sheichel, we're not concerned. He might eat or yishtei or might drink. Imiga, if he touches, so they're not muktzah or anything. Foods are fine to pass on, to give, and to feed, etc. The question to be asked here is that what about we know elsewhere, Pelchas Pesach, the halach is different. When it comes to chometz on Pesach, you're not allowed to touch it. So what is the difference? Why is it that when it comes to Pesach, you're not allowed to touch chometz, whereas when it comes to Elchas Yom Kippur, you're allowed to touch and pass on the food, and it's not considered also to touch. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Lamed Beis explains, for loy dome lechometz v'pesach she'osu ligaboy, b'shum shema yovo le'ochloy. There we are concerned he's going to end up eating it. Here we're not concerned he's going to end up eating it. Why? Because on Pesach you're anyway eating. You're eating matzahs, you're eating potatoes, you're eating so many other foods. You're anyway in the eating mode. We're concerned you're going to end up suddenly eating it. Oh wow, why not? And you eat it. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, the bottom is called Dvar Achila V'Shtiyah. Anyway, refraining yourself from eating completely and drinking, then you're going to be in the non-eating mode, and there's no chashash, you can hold it, and we're not concerned you're going to eat it. Another reason, it's a very serious stain, it's a very, you got the holiness of the day, and it causes us a certain pachat, a certain fear, and we're not going to, you're not going to end up forgetting and eating. There is a certain atmosphere in the day that will lead us not to forget, and we're not going to eat, even if we're touching it. Whereas on Pesach, there is no such atmosphere. even if the child can take it himself. We don't have to be stringent on that. And it is perfectly acceptable to hold and pass on the foods on Yom Kippur.